We're going to read tonight from Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. And I'm going to give you a little secret here. If you want to know a quick summary of the Old Testament, 39 books covering 3,600 years of history. If you want a quick summary of all that, well, read this verse tonight. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. What that's saying there says, this sums up the law and the prophets. So tonight, we're teaching about these very important words of Jesus that give us a summary of what all the law is about and what the prophets were saying. And we're teaching here tonight about the golden rule. Everybody say the golden rule. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated tonight. Praise the Lord. Much of what God expects from us has to do with how we treat one another. And this verse where we find the golden rule, it comes in the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which deals a lot about our relationship with God. But what we find is our relationship with God should affect every other relationship that we have too. In fact, when we're born again, if we don't see any changes in our relationships, that's a problem. Because when we're born again, we become a new creature. And that should impact every area of our life. When we're born again, there's probably going to be some people that don't feel comfortable around us anymore. There'll be those that they're interested in the changes that have happened in our life. There'll even be some that say, hey, I want to go on this journey with you because I'm excited to see how you've changed and how the power of God is working in your life. But there will also be others that say, you know what, now you're different. And I don't feel comfortable telling the same jokes around you that I used to tell. And I don't, you know, we don't do the same things we used to do and things have changed. Now, that's a good sign that we're becoming a new creature. We're different than the way that we used to be before. And it affects our relationships. Most of us are familiar with the various books. They're called Dummies Guide. Books. Anybody ever read one of the Dummies Guides? I've got several in my office. Personal Finance for Dummies, Robert's Rules of Order for Dummies, QuickBooks for Dummies, Photoshop for Dummies. Now, the success of these books, if you've never read one, they're very interesting. The success does not come from their willingness to insult their readers' intelligence. No, but they've learned how to tap in to the experience that many of us have when we're trying to learn a new subject, things like accounting or cooking or whatever it might be. And so they've built their brand on the ability to break things down and to explain complicated ideas so that anybody, even a dummy, can understand. Well, Jesus is doing the same thing for us. And no, he didn't leave us a book called Human Relationships for Dummies. But in this verse we read here tonight, that's basically what this is. He has simplified the most complex question. How do I relate to other people? How do I get along, even with those that are hard to get along with? And this works, folks. It works. It works for friends and foes alike. It works for those that we're close to. And if we have any enemies, hopefully you don't, but if you have any enemies, it works for them too. Why is it called the golden rule? Because it is golden. This is, you don't get better than this. It's the best rule there is, and it really is the basis for all other good rules. It used to be that if you went to a kindergarten center or a children's daycare, that most likely up on the wall somewhere you would see a form of the golden rule. I hope that's still the case. I don't know. I would imagine not in some places. But here's the thing. It's because it's one of the most fundamental truths. And we have to start learning this as children. And then we've got to practice it as young people. And then by the time that we're adults, it should be a guiding principle in our life. If not, our society is in trouble. And in fact, we are in trouble, because so many do not live by this commandment of Jesus Christ. I believe tonight that every one of us can do better with this. And it's my hope that we leave here changed tonight. It's my hope that we'll look at our relationships differently, that we'll learn to put ourselves in someone else's shoes so that we can treat them how we would want to be treated if we were them. If we can do this, folks, I tell you, we will be shining the love of Jesus Christ in our world. We will make a difference in all of those who we touch. We'll be able to shine so brightly because this is counterculture. This is not how our culture is, but we will stand out because we're following the Word of God, and we will make a difference in every life that we touch. Now, if we're going to understand the golden rule, first of all, we've got to understand what the golden rule isn't, okay? Jesus didn't say, treat your friends how you would want to be treated. Now, that's part of it, but that wasn't all that he said. He also didn't say, treat those of your own color or your own background, or your own religion, or your own social status as you would want to be treated. And Jesus certainly didn't say, treat people how they've treated you. Sometimes people try to make their own version of the golden rule. Well, they treated me this way, here's how I'm going to treat them. There are some who say, well, Jesus just borrowed the golden rule from the teachings of Eastern religions. The Hindu religion, it says, do not to others which if done to thee would cause pain. Buddhists teach, hurt not others with that which pains yourself. Jewish tradition says, what is hateful to you, do not to your fellow man. Confucius said, what you do not want others to do to you, do not do to others. Socrates wrote, do not do unto others what angers you if done to you by others. Now, these are all great, it's great, great principles here, but if you study these are all in the passive and negative form. What's hateful to you, don't do that to others. What's bad, don't do that. But Jesus changed it into the positive and active form. He went further than anybody else ever had. These all said, don't do something that is hurtful to others if you wouldn't want it done to you. But Jesus went beyond that and he said, do. Do. It wasn't just don't do the things that are hurtful, but you need to do the things that are good. Do the things that you would want someone to do to you. Hallelujah. We are to initiate it. We're to make the first move of kindness. We're to go above and beyond what is just required of us, to surpass what others would expect us to do. That's how we're going to stand out, not because we have to, but because we want to. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38, He said, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if a man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain, and give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Do we realize how powerful this is? This is awesome. We're going the extra mile. We're turning the other cheek. We're loving our enemies. We're blessing them that curse us. We're doing good to them that hate us, praying for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. That's transformational. It's revolutionary. You see, our flesh wants to respond. Somebody says something about us on Facebook, something rises up, and we're thinking of all the things that we could say so that we could get one up on them. It's not just we want to make it even. No, I want to teach them a lesson, you know. If somebody curses us, we want to go curse them back. Well, who do they think they are? But we're to do good to them. We're to bless them. We're to pray for them. Who is our target for showing the golden rule? I want to tell you the options are endless. The options are endless. Maybe it's a neighbor. They need their grass cut while they're out of town. Maybe it's a lonely person they're always by themselves, but they just need somebody to take them to dinner. What about that grumpy person who has no joy? They're, you know, Debbie Downer. I don't even know what that means exactly. I guess I probably ought to figure that out before I say it. But, you know, there's just always just so grumpy. Maybe it's a kid in your class at school that nobody really likes. Maybe it's someone who didn't treat us fairly. It could even be those that they don't love us back and they say that they hate us. But Jesus said, what would you want someone to do to you if you were in that situation? Then go and do that to them. It's clear. We are to love others as ourselves. We are to treat others as we would want to be treated. Are we so selfish that we would think everything in the universe revolves around us? Do we ever consider how others are feeling? How they're thinking, what they're dealing with? Or are we just consumed with our little world and only what we want, what we desire, what's on our mind? Treat people the same that you would want them to treat you. There you have it. Relationships 101. How we respond to others, how we interact, how we relate, how we work together. It should be led by this very simple principle. The way we would want others to treat us, that's the way that we should treat them. Well, they haven't treated me that way, and I don't know how they're going to respond. That's not our job. Our job is to treat them the way we would want them to treat us. So how do we want to be treated? We all want to be respected. We all want to feel loved. We want to feel like we matter, like we're significant, to be treated kindly, fairly, honestly. We want to be included. We want people to be gracious and patient with us. Well, if we want that, then we're to do that. If we want compassion, we're to give compassion. If we want mercy, then we should be quick to show mercy. If we want to be respected, then we need to learn how to show respect. Nobody wants to be disrespected at work, insulted on social media, or excluded from a group. Oh, but everybody else is doing, doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. We can't live by the same standards. We're called to a higher standard by Jesus Christ. It was Charles Spurgeon who wrote, "The golden rule is more admired than practiced." He said, "Our King gives us his golden rule. Put yourself in another's place and then act to others as you would wish others to act towards you under the same circumstances." Oh, that our world would do that. If they would, I tell you, there'd be no war, there'd be no murder, there'd be no slavery, no stealing, no lying, no abandonment. We wouldn't need prisons, no psychologists or psychiatrists. We wouldn't need lawyers and courtrooms. There'd be no need for a welfare system or for family courts. We may not be able to change everybody in the world, but I want to tell you, we can have an impact on those that we touch and those that we interact with. We can make a difference in our world. In our world. Come on, you're called to do it. It's not something we're supposed to be passive about, but we're supposed to be active. We're supposed to initiate this. We are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Now, if we're going to live by the golden rule, we can't be judgmental of others and the situation that they find themselves in. It's easy to do that. That's the way our brain works sometimes. And so we can give you a whole list of everything they've done to us, but sometimes we don't even see the stuff we've done to them. And a few verses before our text tonight, Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 1, he said, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." We need to think about that. Sometimes we are so hard on others. Well, did you know what they did? Is that how we want to be judged? Help us, Lord. And why... For what judgment you judge, verse 3, "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." It's like there's a little toothpick in somebody else's eye. A little sliver. And we're saying, "Hey, you got a problem." And we've got a big old tree sticking out of the side of our head. Sometimes we need to sweep around our own porch, our own front door. Help us, Lord. 1 Corinthians 10 and 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. So we can't be judgmental. Everybody's got issues. None of us are perfect. None of us. Right? Oh, yeah, okay. I mean, you're close to perfect. You're close to perfect. Where does this work? It works on the job. It works in the home. It works with husbands and wives. It works in politics. They don't do it, but it works in business. You know, two people ought to be able to handshake and say, "We got a deal," and then we're going to do our best to do what you would want and what I would want, and we're going to just make it happen. It works. It works in the church. It works in the church. What are some examples of where the golden rule is needed in our church? in our church. I'm thankful for all the leaders that God has blessed us with. And if you're wondering who the leaders are, get a mirror, because we're part of the team, okay? We're all part of the team. There's a lot of work to do. And so we're working together to try to reach this city and the surrounding area and try to have revival. And so we're all part of the team. But leaders have to work together. Now, my personality is different than Brother Zach's personality. And his personality is different than Brother Madison. And Brother Madison is different from, I could just go down the line, Sister Michelle and, you know, all these others. We've got different personalities. We've got different way of seeing things. But we've got to learn to work together. We've got to learn to work together. Be flexible. Be flexible. I heard a little saying. It said, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. And that's true. Some people are just, they're not flexible. Well, nope, this is the rule. And there's just, it's a dumb rule, okay? You know, and it's like, can't you see there's a way we could work. Nope, that's not the rule. I'm not going to do that. Now, sometimes they need to be that way. I could think of some examples in some government offices and agencies where I've gone and went, nope, this is the rule. And be flexible. We'd want people to be flexible with us. We want people to be flexible with us. Let's be flexible to them. In fact, be flexible first and watch that relationship be blessed. Amen. Praise the Lord. What about when new people come to the house of the Lord? For some of us, it's been so long since we were a new person in a church that we forgot how it feels. Every once in a while, we just need to have a blank mind and pull up onto the parking lot and just imagine that we were a new person. And we're trying to figure out, now, where do we go? This church has so many doors, I don't know what one to go through, you know? And I see people going in and they got suits and ties on, and I don't even have a suit, and I'm definitely not wearing a tie. And think about how people think. And I come in, and I got to go to the bathroom. Where is that at? Where am I going to sit? Am I going to be all by myself? Are they going to be looking at me? Are they going to call me out and tell me to come up to the front? And how's this going to go down? You know, all of these different things that new people think when they come into this church. We've got to put ourselves in their mindset, and then we've got to do unto them like if we were in that situation, we would want somebody to do to us. We've got to be welcoming. We would want somebody to be welcoming to us. People get nervous. Oh, is anybody going to talk to me? And I don't know, you know, how's this going to work? Just take that fear away and just go up and just be a friend to them. And people are looking for a church where they have friends. Where they have friends. What about our youth group? God's blessed us with a great youth group. We're thankful for all that God is doing, but speak to others with kindness. Speak to others with kindness. We would want someone to speak kindly to us, but they get on my nerves. Well, you probably get on theirs. Thank God we're not all the same. I know. We're all different. It's awesome. Recently, I heard a situation that I overheard something. I didn't know exactly what all was going on until later. It was a private joke at someone else's expense. And we think, oh, I'd never do that. But then sometimes we get caught up in things. and it happens before we even realize it. And this person, thankfully, was oblivious to the fact, did not know what was going on, but even in their presence, people were talking about it right in front of them, making fun of something that really, when I figured out what it was, there was nothing to be made fun of. It was so off. And I don't know why that person would do that in our youth group. And it hurts me right now to even think about it. We wouldn't want someone to do that to us. Nobody wants to go into a group and feel like everybody there is talking about them. We're trying to grow a church. And thankfully, we've got a lot of young people at this church. But that means we better be on our game. We better be right. Brother Zach, I love you, man. You don't see everything the way I see. We don't agree on every issue. We don't, you know, we look at things. We're our own person, but you're my brother. And I'm your brother. And we're going to find a way to work through differences and be like, okay, we may not agree on every little situation, but we're heading the same direction. Amen. Brother Caleb. And Brother Caleb. You guys come from totally different backgrounds. But you're both living for God, doing your best. Are you perfect? No, you're not perfect, but we're trying to get there. But Brother Caleb, you can't be like, well, yeah, I've been in church all of my life and I got it all figured out, and this poor Caleb guy, he's just brand new and he's still learning. And take heed, lest we fall. And then Brother Caleb can't be like, yeah, that Brother Caleb, he's been in church all his life. He doesn't know how blessed he is. And my goodness, no, we're brothers. We're brothers. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes new people, when they come to the church, they resist just being kind of assimilated into the group. You know, it could be an intimidation thing. It could be there's just a lot of things that could influence that. But we have to learn how to lovingly put our arms around them and say, hey, you're part of us. You're part of us. They're not going to feel part of us if we're picking them apart and talking about them behind the scenes. And I'm not saying anybody's doing that right now. I'm just saying, hey, this is how we need to be. We wouldn't want somebody to do that to us, so we can't do that to them. In fact, we got to turn that around. We would want somebody to be welcoming. We would want somebody to love us. We would want somebody to include us. God's taken this church somewhere. God's taken this church somewhere, but we can't let these little things get us distracted from our goal and our purpose. Hallelujah. The golden rule, it's golden. It really is golden. Golden. Now, the pastor's included in this. Yes, I have to consider how I would want the pastor to treat me if I was a member in a church, and then I've got to treat others that way. But also, we need to think about, if I was the pastor, how would I want people to treat me? How would I want people to respond? How would I want people to act? What about when they were upset about something? How would, if I was the pastor and everybody was upset about some little thing, how would I want people to treat me if I was the pastor? Nobody likes having their mistakes all pointed out, but here's the thing, we all make mistakes. Sometimes there has to be correction. Not necessarily from the pastor, but maybe it's a leadership team, the music team, or just whatever. Sometimes we've got to work to do better, okay? And so there's correction, or there's leadership, or there's guidance that has to happen. And here's the thing, the golden rule works. Because if I was wrong, how would I want somebody to approach me? I would not want them to tell everybody on social media, well, I can't believe how horrible they are. And I would not want them to ridicule me, to be hateful and mean. But when it's necessary for us to receive correction or adjustments or whatever, we would want to be approached with a meek and a patient spirit. So that's how we should approach others. As we would have others offer us constructive criticism, so also should we give it to them. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, and we should all be spiritual. Oh, I'm just not spiritual. I don't want to hear that. We all should be spiritual. Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We got a great church. God's doing some great things. It's full of wonderful people. I'm excited about getting all of these chairs filled. Amen. I'm excited about what the Lord's doing. Incidentally, we've got four people going to be baptized tonight. We're excited about that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you've not ever been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you need to make that a point. Let me know. We could do it tonight, do it another time, but you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Amen. Do unto others as we would have them do unto us. It's the golden rule. It's our guide to human relationships. Now, I want each of us to seriously consider this question here tonight. Okay, I'm closing, but here's the question. If we were lost, if we were in the world, and we didn't know about this truth, if we'd never been born again, we've never repented of our sins, if we'd never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, if we'd never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, or if we were backslid, we once were and then we backslid and were far from God, if all that was true, what steps would we want someone to take to reach us? Think about it here tonight. If we were lost and going to hell, if our life was headed for the lake of fire, to be separated from God for an eternity, to suffer the torment of hell, Jesus said, they'll be cast into outer darkness where there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. What's gnashing of teeth? It's the only thing we can imagine. It's just someone who's in the most worst pain imaginable. We've never probably had that in this life, but it will be so in hell. And if we were headed to hell, what would we want someone to do for us? If that person had the key, if they had the way of escape, if they knew what it took to be saved from eternal damnation, what would we want them to do? How many times would we want them to call our number? How many times would we want them to show up on our doorstep? How many times would we want them to invite us to the house of God? How much would we want them to pray for us and for our family? Even if it wasn't convenient, even if it took energy and time and sacrifice, and even if we were rude back to them, if we were lost, and if we never even acted like we cared about the church or the Bible, we would want someone with the truth to do whatever it takes to save us. We would want somebody to reach in and take hold of us and pull us out of the grip of the flames of hell. There would be no limit to what we would want them to do for us if we were lost. Hallelujah. Jesus said in our text, Matthew 7:12, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And we can't give someone a card to invite them to church. And we can't take a minute for a phone call or a text to invite somebody to revival. And we don't care enough to tell somebody that there's hope. And we're too shy to speak up that there's a better way. We would want somebody to do it for us. Whatever it took for them to get our attention, we would want them to do it. If it means the difference in us going to heaven or us being lost for eternity, I don't care what you have to do. Get my attention. Pray for me. Come interrupt my day. Do whatever it takes because I need you to save me. Would you stand with me here tonight? Maybe you never thought about it like that. Do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Think about it like that. I was at a store yesterday. There's a guy at the checkout. And every time I go in there, he just stands out. He's going someplace. He doesn't even realize it, but he's going someplace. He's got a future because he's just got character. And I never said anything to him about it. I just tried to be nice to him. And I said, hey, how you doing? And I could tell he's kind of down. I said, hey, you doing all right today? He said, well, somebody just yelled at me. And I thought, okay, here's my opportunity. I said, yelled at you? I said, you're always so nice. You're always so helpful. You're always so kind and considerate. What's going on? He's like, yeah, I don't know. I said, I want to tell you something. You've got a gift. You're an awesome guy. You're making a difference in people's lives. You keep up the good work. And like he started, like he'd never thought that about himself or something. And I said, oh, yeah, I pulled out my wallet, said, hey, I got something here for you. And he's like, something for me? You know, he's like, pulled out the church card. I said, man, you're such an awesome guy. I'd love for you to come be part of our church. And I talked to him for just a little bit, and he's like, oh, okay, yeah. Now, I don't know if he's going to come or not, but if that was me, I'd want somebody to do that for me. You'd want somebody to do that for you. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. On the way out tonight, you need to go get you a handful of cards that say the Experience Church on it. And you need to start going looking for opportunities to do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. Come on, folks. We're about to have revival, but it's going to take some work. It's going to take some people saying, I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to do whatever it takes to reach somebody for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Whatever area of your life it is that God's ministering here tonight, if it's something in the church or in our youth group or in your family, or if it's to be a soul winner, I just want you to say, God, I'll live by the golden rule. I'll live by the golden rule. It's not something I'm just going to hear about and pastor's going to teach about and I'll read about it every once. No, I'm going to do this. this is going to be the principle of my life. Amen. Would you come around this altar and just make a commitment to God? I'm going to live like this. I'm going to be this kind of person. I'm going to be someone that looks beyond myself and beyond my own thinking. And I'm going to look to the needs of others.